Firstly, shkoyach for everyone coming out tonight. As Ezra said, this is Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh coming out tonight. I went to Gourmet Glot before, and the place was empty. At 6 o'clock, empty. There were two cars in the parking lot. So a lot of people, I thought, there. You know, last week someone said there's no Thanksgiving for us. They expected it to be a packed house. But shkoyach for you guys for coming out this evening. Now, this is probably the most important shir, certainly of the Baal Shem Tov series. We're going to finish with this tonight, but possibly of the entire understanding of Chassidus. This might be the backbone of all of Chassidus here in this piece of paper. And what this is, it comes from the Sefer Divrei Shmuel. Divrei Shmuel was written by one of the Slonimer Rebbes, Rav Shmuel Weinberg. And at the end of this Sefer, there's this piece called Hadrachos HaBaal Shem Tov Zichus Yogenu Leinu. The ways of the Baal Shem Tov. If you look at the small print there, it says, Chemda Genuza, there is this hidden treasure, Shenimtza Bidei Necher HaBaal Shem Tov Zichusa Yigenu Lenu, that there is some manuscript that was found in the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov's hand. Vutaka Miksav Yad Kodesh Admor Merav Shimon, Rishmul rather, Weinberg, Shehumtza Lenu Aidei Echad Mechashuvei Anche Shleimim Shlita. So this was a piece of paper that was found in the hands of the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, as I mentioned last week, that we don't have any writings of the Baal Shem Tov, with the exception of that letter he wrote to his brother-in-law Gershom, which never made its way over. So this was not from the Baal Shem Tov himself, but this was a Mesorah that the grandson had written, which is supposed to cover the 10 basic principles of the Baal Shem Tov. And, you know, Sam was giving me a hard time after the first year. He was making, not a hard time, but this is a very important point, which I never mentioned. The principles of chassid, this is not the way you dress and how you look. That is not what makes a chassid at all. Now, those things help you affiliate and associate with people. The way you dress is something that is very important. Wearing certain clothing does help, but that does not make you a chassid or not. You could dress that way, look like a chassid, and not really be a chassid. And you could not dress that way and really be a chassid. It all depends on your understanding and in the heart and in the brain, in the mind. So these are the 10 principles, almost like the Aseret HaDibros of Chassidus. Now, as we walk through each of these principles, we're going to see that they seem to be quite repetitive, pretty much the same idea in different applications. But the real Yesod in all of Chassidus, which is the Baal Shem Tov, remember, the Baal Shem Tov he wasn't Mechadish anything really. He just took the Torahs of the Zohar and the Arizal and just brought it to life and made it more public. So what is the one Yesod? If you could just pick one word that really sum up what the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov was trying to publicize. Anyone want to take a guess what that one word is?
Chassidus.
Good, but the better word, you're right, it's true. Close, what? Vegas is part of it, but they pretty much, what as Weimer will oftentimes refer to, is Panemius. Panemius. Panemius means looking inside everything. Everything, every person. Panemius inside every being, every animal, every object, every food, every event, everything in this world is a pnimius. That is the yesod of all chassidus, which is the yesod of all sod. Sod is looking for the inside, the depth of everything. Pnimius is the understanding of what chassidus is trying to bring out. So as we walk through these 10 principles, I don't know if we'll go through all of them, but whatever you go through, we'll just finish off, and on your own you could go through. And then we're going to pick up next week with Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who is the Talmud, this is the Sefer of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, who really, before his time, as we'll go through next week, he really made the Baal Shem Tov big. And that's next week, maybe the next 2 weeks, we'll go through Toldos Yaakov Yosef. So let's go through one by one these 10 principles of the Baal Shem Tov. The first one is, Ein b'chol ha-Torah kula, u'b'chol ha-olam kula. There's nothing in the Torah, nothing in the entire world, rak or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. The only thing that exists is really Hashem. Ein Sof. He's called the Ein Sof. He's called endless, boundless, infinite. Hamistater Behem. That's hidden within everything in the world. Every pasuk, every Torah, every being in this world is really a hidden form of Hashem. The Chol Psukim and the following psukim, which is Ein Ol Milvado, nothing other than Hashem, and the pasuk. As a Shemaim, that's Aretz Ani Malei. I fill up the entire world, both in the Shemaim and in the Aretz. Heim Kipshuta Mamish. That is meant to be taken literally. Hashem is every single place. Nothing else matters other than Hashem. He's up in Shemaim, he's up in Aretz, he's up in the water that we're drinking, the seltzer, the pistachio nuts, the paper. There's Hashem in everything. So he says, She'ein lecha b'chol ma'isa b'chol dibor b'chol hirur. There is no action. That means when you're taking a shot in basketball, if you're exercising, there's no speech that you say, whether it's a Dvar Torah, whether it's tefillah, whether it's sichas chulin. There's no action, no speech, and no hearer. She'ein etzem helokos mistater u'mitstam tzeimbo. Hashem is in every single action, thought, and speech in this world. V'lachein, therefore, hamabit v'roe be'ayin sichli. A person who looks with a very careful, intellectual eye, let's say, al kol advarim, asher neged einav, anything that's up against him, mitzad pnimiusam v'chiyusam, the essence, the pnimius, the hidden life, lo mitzad shitcham v'chitonius b'vad. Don't only look at the surface, the superficial, the way a person looks, the way a person dresses, the way a person acts. Don't look at that. Lo yirak koach eloki shebesocham hamechaya osam. Look at the inside life force of that person or being, u'mekaimam b'chol eis v'rega, that keeps that person alive and breathing and the heart pumping. And that flower alive, and that plant, and that tree, and that food. Vashomea, one who listens b'oznaim k'shuvos, with ears that are paying close attention, l'kol apnimi, listening to the voice. Sometimes a person could speak to you, and they're saying something on the outside, but you see a lot more depth to what they're saying. You know, it could be from their facial expressions, it could be from their body language, it could be from their tone, their attitude. Although they might be saying, you know, often with their children, they say, I'm sorry. No, they really don't mean it, even though they said the words, I'm sorry. The I'm sorry doesn't mean anything if they're not really sincere about it. So you have to, whenever a person speaks to you, unless they're a real con artist or know how to manipulate, you have to always be able to read between the lines and understand what's the panemius and everything that they're saying. So, lo yishma, let's keep the line here, shebesoch hakol hagashmi anishma loznaim, lo yishma rakol elokim hamechaya. Look at really what is the life source behind this. Look at the essence of what a person's telling you. Sometimes a person will ask a shaila to me. So you can't always look at just what the shaila is. There's sometimes a lot behind that shaila. It might be a very loaded question. Now, sometimes they don't mean to tell me. Sometimes they do mean to, but they're uncomfortable telling me what's really behind that shaila. But one of the things, and I've been trained from my Rebbe Rav Willig and him answering my questions, he asks me questions to figure out, teach me how to ask the proper questions. When a person asks me a certain question, it doesn't happen with kashrus. Nothing comes to my mind right now as a good example. But you have to ask other questions. What are they trying to get at? What's the real problem? What's the essence of the shaila being asked? And you have to be able to look in the pnimius of every single shaila. Mm-hmm. So this, yeah.
He means over here, rakis ella, right? Because I read that the wrong way at first. Lo yire ella, you shouldn't see nothing. Because it means only. He said, lo yira rak, you shouldn't only see da 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 da. That's wrong, that conveys the wrong meaning. It's lo yira.
That rock is, I think, implying the same thing as Ella.
Ella, yeah. Not.
But this is the principle of all chassidus, to look inside everything. That means inside every single person. That's why one of the biggest things about Shem Tov accomplished, I think there's a story printed at in the back of the Chabad Sidurim, which describes the story of the Baal Shem Tov. I don't remember the story exactly, but how he'd pay special attention to those who were not the elite. You imagine those Talmidim around the Baal Shem Tov were elite. You can't get into the room with the Baal Shem Tov unless you were really something special. But he made sure to make time and a place for all those who were not necessarily the highest learners and the best people. Because he, mamish, saw the inside, that every single Jew and every single person in this world has a special neshama. And even though on the outside, and even though they might not know anything, and they look different, and they act different, inside every single Jew is something special. And that was one of the big things that the Baal Shem Tov emphasized, was being kir v'chokim. It's not just for the elite. Yiddishkeit is for every single person, however they could connect. It's true of eating, it's true of everything that's gashmius in this world. We spoke, on Zmir Shabbos last week about the idea of how eating on Shabbos elevates the food to a whole nother level. That although during the week we're supposed to be mitzam, same what we eat, and just eat the bare minimum or whatever we're capable of eating, on Shabbos we're overindulging. Because Shabbos is a special time where we could take the gashmi and see with the special eyes of Kedusha Shabbos that there's something hidden and special even inside the food that we eat. It's true of Torah as well. Torah also is behind every single halacha. there's a depth to it. There's Pnimius HaTorah. There are many Svarim that connect. You learn through Likutei Halachos, Rabbi Nassan, the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman. He goes through all the Halachas and explains what the depth, what the Pnimius is of Halacha. So what the Baal Shem Tov is trying to teach here, that every aspect of the world, whether it's Torah, science, food, people, everything, there's a Pnimius, there's something hidden deep inside. There's a great story of Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha was known as one of the Rebbes, but Reb Zusha was known, at least the way he, impression he gave, was not such an intelligent individual. Always had interesting stories, and he probably hid a lot of what he knew. And there was once an individual who had this dream for a few days, and it was really haunting him. And the dream was his father had passed away, and there was some idol of Avodah Zarah, Getchka, in his kever of his father. That was the dream that he was kept on seeing, and it was haunting him. And this individual who had the dream wasn't a chassid, and he finally didn't know what to do, so he said, I'll go see Reb Zusha. He went to Reb Zusha, and he told him what happened. Reb Zusha said to him, you know, there's a tree that fell over onto your father's kever, and it's like shaped like a cross, so you should remove it. So the guy thought he was crazy, but he went to the father kever, and he saw, Taka, that's what happened. There was a tree that was shaped like a cross on top of the kever. And he removed it and fixed it, everything was fine, the dream never happened again. So then one time this person was passing through Vilna and he went to visit the Gra. This guy was more connected to the Gra than he was to Reb Zusha. So he shared with the Gra the mitzvah that happened, that Reb Zusha was something special. The Hasidim have something special to them. So the Gra says, wow, I'm amazed, Reb Zusha, he knew the Yushalmi? Apparently this is Mefurash Yushalmi that says this din. He knew the Yushalmi, Reb Zusha? I thought he's an Amaretz. So this guy goes back and tells Reb Zusha, you know, what happened? Where Gross was very impressed that he knew the Yushalmi. Reb Zusha said, I didn't know the Yushalmi. I knew where the Yushalmi got it from, though. He knew the panemius of it. He knew the depth of it. So that's what the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Mevilaj in the Talmud of the Gra, who was very much against Hasidus. Again, when I say Hasidus, he wasn't against the learning of panemius. He was against the whole movement, which is a whole other discussion we could have some different time. But Nefesh HaChaim goes through and explains how were the Avos able to keep the Kol HaTorah Kula? The Torah wasn't given yet. The Gemara says the last mission of Maseches Kedushin, Avram kept the entire Torah. And the Gemara in Yuma says, Afilu Erev Tavshilun. So they weren't given the Torah. How in the world did they know this? So Nefesh HaChaim said, because they were so connected on a deep level, they knew where the Yushalmi got it from, if you will. They knew where the source of Tefillin was from. They knew where the source of Lula was from. If you understand on a higher level, you could actually work backwards. That backwards for us, it's really forward. But for us, backwards. And that's the idea. He was trying to get back to the panemius of all of Torah, all of life, all of mankind. So that's principle one. As we're going to see, it's really going to be repeated in the next nine principles in some way or another. So Os Beis now. Os Beis says writing, this manuscript, Galus HaShechina, what does it mean Galus HaShechina? If I were to ask you what Galus means, Galus HaShechina, Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us with the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina went from one place to another place, further and further away from the Beis HaMikdash. So I would think that it meant that the Shechina is just no longer present in the place where we are. It's hidden somewhere in the desert where we can't get to it. So says the Baal Shem Tov, Yikare lahavayos v'koach eloki, the Yikara, the Yaka, the preciousness, the kavod of the Shem Hashems and the power of Elkim, Hamechaya umahave esachote be'es cheto mamish. So all that meant was that Shechina wasn't exiled, but actually started giving life source to, you know, this is a deeper concept which I'm not going to go into. The Shechina is still here, but it's giving life source to even the Averos, even the Yetzihara in this world. It's again a complicated topic of the Shnei Se'irim, the two goats in Yom HaKippurim. One Sar LaShem, which goes in the base of Mikdash, and one Sar LaZazel. And which one is the LaShem going to fall on, the right, the left one? The Ramban talks about it. We're trying to appease this Malach called LaZazel. There are these different forces. It's, again, a very complicated topic. But there is some level when the Galus is Shechina, it means not that the Shechina went away. It just started to attach itself to bad forces in this world. So now we have to get into what's a bad force. So one of the big things, the Baal Shem Tov, was not only that you have to find the Pnimius, but this is the same idea. He was positive about everything in this world. There's no negativity. There's nothing called Ra. Everything ra is really tov, and that's what we're going to see here. But because the essence is of everything, even in something that looks bad and evil, even if a child being thrown out of yeshiva, there's tov inside of everyone. So if you look at the pinimis of everything, that means there's never anything bad. There's no such thing as a bad kid. Yeah, they do bad things sometimes, and they need disciplining. But inside every single Jew, or every single person, there's tov. So look what Os Gimel says. Hayetzahara v'ataivos, heima shluchei amakom. The Yetzirah, which, now the difference between the Yetzirah and the Taiva, by the way, Yetzirah is a force from the outside. Let's call it some Taiva looking at things you shouldn't be looking at from the outside. And then there's Taiva that are inside. Person has a certain urge from the inside. Hema Shluchei Hamakom. These are considered messengers from Hashem. Strange thing. Hashem sending these bad, these nisyonos to us. She'osin ratzon sholchim liftos es ha'adam l'man yigvar lehem. I spoke about this last week a little bit, that in Shal Shudis with the Tver Shlomo, of Shlomo HaKohen Miridomsk, that he said when Rivka took the beged of Esav, HaChamudos, and placed it upon Yaakov, Buna HaKatan, so the idea is, explained to Tver Shlomo, she was taking those kochos, those evil forces of Esav, and placing them upon Yaakov to use for his own benefit. Every single strength a person has, even the weakness a person has is meant to be there used for something positive and to just channel into something good. The obvious example the Gemara says is a person who has an anger management problem, to use the kas to be a mo'el, to take it out on the bris milah, to take it out on the shechting the animal. So everything a person has, even that which seems as a disadvantage, is actually supposed to be channeled some way to help you to accomplish. So what it's being told here right now is that Hashem sends these taivas and yetzahara to make us better people, to make us stronger people. And the example I gave last week was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's famous Hall of Fame speech was that his high school coach cut him, and that made him so upset, so it made him become the best basketball player in the world, because he was trying to prove a point and prove his high school coach wrong. So when the Yetzirah comes to us, it's only there to make us stronger and better. Umehem yulmad lios gibor kemosim. And now we could be just as strong as the Yetzirah. Kemos shehema enam nirpame avodasam. Never does the Yetzirah give up. The more we fight, the stronger it fights back. They never get weak. V'chol hayom v'chol halayla lo yechshu lahasis as adam. The Yetzirah never gives up. Never gives up on us. All day, all night, it's trying to attack us. It's constantly looking to get us for whatever it sees, whatever it hears. They are fulfilling a mission from Hashem to get us to trip up, to get us to do something we shouldn't be doing, to get us to steal money, to do something in business, to do something inappropriate. So, Kain lo yasir ha'adam mimachshavaso. Asher ratzon kona hu lisgaber. A person shouldn't remove from his mind the ratzon of Hashem. They're supposed to overcome this ad yehi Moshe Baruchah, until he has complete control over this ruach, this yetzahara. V'chol ha'taivos, and this way all his taivos yihu nichnoim elav ad yafchem latov, until you could take that yetzahara and flip it around to something good. And that's what it says, zeh melubash b'maimara ha'kasav, that's what's hidden, enclosed in the pasuk, and when it came to the motion Aaron, they told Paro, "Ki mimenu nikach la'avodes Hashem." We need to take animals to serve Hashem in the midbar. Wrote Salomar, "Mehem from the animals themselves, nilmar lasos kamosim." We can learn from animals. But the Gemara talks about a certain place, a certain animals you can learn from. You learn from the way a cat goes to the bathroom, the tznius. You never catch a cat going to the bathroom unless you're looking through a hole in the window. They can't notice you. You learn sneeze from a cat. So we learn many things from animals. Kemosha hema osim raton konam. They fulfill the mission of Hashem to do whatever an animal is supposed to do. So we have to listen to them as well. Listen, rather, learn from them how to listen to Hashem and constantly fight the Yetzirah. This week's parsha told us Yaakov Yosef, as we're transitioning to the next tzaddik, so he actually says this very same idea. He's talking about the parsha in the pasuk Vayikach Me'avnei Hamakom VaYosam Mirashosav, that Yaakov took the rocks and he placed him underneath his head. So Toldot Yaakov Yosef explains here the idea of Ezel Chacham Halomei Mikol Adam. Who is a Chacham? A person who learns from every single person. Right, that's what the Mishnah Avos tells us. Halomei Mikol Adam. The Medrash Shmuel on Pirkei Avos writes, that's why a person is called a Talmud Chacham, because he's a Talmud to everyone. The reason, the way a person becomes a Chacham is becoming a Talmud to everyone. You have to be Talmud to learn from everyone. You have to be able to learn from no matter who the person is, whether he's greater than you, older than you, younger than you, not as smart as you. You have to be able to learn from everyone because there's what to be learned. So he says, Ratzalomar gami Adam Rasha yikach musal nafsho. Even an Adam Rasha, whoever you have in mind is Adam Rasha, there's what to be learned from Rishayim. You learn what not to do, and exactly, and what to do. But look, but he is focuses even on the positive. He quotes the Chovas HaLevavos. Echad sheba al behema. A person is ba on an animal. So it's a terrible thing, obviously. So what could you possibly learn from such a disgusting thing? Says the Chovas HaLevavos. Mishum tanug maos lefisha. Because this person couldn't have self-control. He was willing to disgrace himself for that moment of enjoyment, and to have himself killed by Bezdin. He just couldn't hold himself back. He was willing to be killed by Bezdin for this moment of Tainug. So, Eich lo yimser nafsho, how then could we say, how could we not be willing to be moser our nefesh to get a Tainug amiti nitzchi, in order to get a eternal enjoyment in the Olam Haba? If this guy, this disgusting manuvel, is willing to do what he did for a 10-second hana, so we shouldn't be able to stop. Nothing should get in our way of trying to get the Tanug Anitzchi. That's the positive to be learned from this Rasha. And he says another example. Some people, you know, are willing to get paid to do silly things, to get paid to be a clown, a jester, to do silly things, even though they're uncomfortable and embarrassed. The guy gives them a few bucks to do something silly. So if that guy is willing to be embarrassed to make a couple extra bucks, so how are we not happy to serve Hashem? How can we not be in this tremendous state of simcha, bavodas Hashem Yisbarach, to serve Him and be paid this tremendous fortune of chelik and olam haba? So the point is, you're supposed to learn from every single person, whether he's a tzaddik or a rasha. And that's what the pasuk means, vayikach me'avnei hamakom vayasam yiroshosav. That Yaakov Avinu took musar me'anshei hamakom. He took Musa from everyone who lived around him. These people, Sheyeshlam, Lev Evan, they have a heart of a rock. They have no emotion, no heart. And yet he was able to learn from them and place them, Miroshosav, place them below his head. Berosh Machshavasu Lahavinzet, to understand every single person, there's what to be gained. There's what to be learned. Because again, this is the Yesod of the Baal Shem Tov. There is pnimius inside of every single person, no matter how bad a tzaddik, no matter what study, no matter what mada, whatever science you're learning, there's something hidden. Hashem is hidden in every area of the world and every person of the world. Let's go now to Os Dalet. So Os Dalet, the Baal Shem Tov writes that Ein Ra Yored Min HaShemayim Ki Ein Mekor Lo. There's no such thing as evil in this world. Nothing. There's nothing bad. Nothing bad happens in this world. The reason why? Because there's no Shoresh. There's no source of evil in Shemayim. It just doesn't exist. U'bahara Asher Nimsa. If you do encounter something evil, Yesh Lo Koach Pnimi HaMechayosav. Remember that same Yesod. There is something internal. There is the essence of Ra, which is actually good. V'hu tov gamur. V'lachein im yabit ahara mitzad pnimiyuso lo yira ra katov shebo. And this is what makes a great teacher, a great Rebbe, a great principal. Because when children, as a parent also, when you see a child doing something bad, a student doing something bad, that's only on the outside. But there is something deep inside that's so special, that's tov gamur. And a person doesn't understand that, they only look on the surface, then you're not able to see the depth of every single child, Jewish child out there. Osei, further. Ha'adam tzarech lizdabik, I think who you said this, dveikus, David said dveikus, so this is the idea of dveikus now, which is a very important principle, but it's that same concept. What does dveikus mean? Ha'adam tzarech lizdabik ba'asher hu omer. A person needs to cling to everything he says. How many times do we say things and not think before we speak? We just talk and talk and talk. Whether it's saying something that we shouldn't be saying or just talking just to talk. So if a person concentrates and realizes the following point, Ki b'chol ha'olamos yesh neshama ve'elokus. In every single world, there exists a neshama. There's godliness in every world. Uchsheadam mistabek imam nidbak be'elokus. When a person clings to every word he says, every letter, you know, what makes, what gives, what brings Kedusha in this world? What brings Kedusha? So says Rav Chaim Mivolozhin, Nefesh HaChaim, the source of all Kedusha is the osios, letters, the osios. How do we know this? So what's the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash? The Aron, the Kodesh Kedashim. What's inside the Aron? The Sefer Torah, the Luchos. All the osios that are inside the Aron HaKodesh, inside the Kodesh Kedashim, that is where all Kedusha emanates from the world. So therefore, every single word that we say, every single letter that we articulate, if we understand the power of those letters and the meaning behind it, that's what Dveikus B'Hashem means. Think before we speak, because every letter and word that you're saying, every sentence, is connecting to Hashem. Because Hashem is in every speech. Now, that doesn't only mean tefillah and Torah, it even means sichas chulin. But the Gemara says, even from the sichas chulin of Tamidei Chachamim, there's what to be learned, how they speak. You know, if you have a real true Rebbe, you'll never find them say anything negative, unless you're really close to them. But other than that, even Rebbeim have things negative to say because they see reality. But in public, regular speech, they'll never say anything negative. If they have to say something negative, they'll say it in the positive way. They'll never say the word I hate, I dislike, not my taste. Because every letter and word you say has a koach of the neshama, the godliness inside of it. And that's dveikus. When you're saying letters and words coming from your mouth, that's your way of connecting to Hashem, by you speaking. Fine, let's go to Oz Vav now. Oz Vav says, the Baal Shem Tov Kol Nase Ba'olam Afil Davar Kal, Shebekalim HaKol Me'Hashem Yizbarach. Every single thing that happens in the world, a leaf falls, the wind blows, a flower grows, a blade of grass grows, a bird flies. Every small thing which we take for granted, it all comes from Shemayim. You stub your toe. You drop something. Lachein ein la'adam la'shkiach. A person should never question im heim kirtzono, im lo kirtzono. Now you have to figure out, it can make yourself crazy sometimes. Very crazy. But you know, in my... Now it comes to mind another travel story of mine. Those who are keeping tabs of all my travel stories. I thought I exhausted them. I guess not. So one just came to mind. I had not taken the Long Island Railroad for quite some time. Since I was PwC, which goes back maybe 10 years ago, and I worked there for a year. So then I had an interview for some job in the city. This is a teaching job. So again, it's been several years. And I'm traveling there, and then we had to stop over at Jamaica, and then we're waiting, and you know, I timed everything perfectly. I don't like getting there too early. I like to get, you know, enough time. And then we're waiting 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes, and they said, sorry, the train's stuck here. You have to wait for the next train to come, another 45 minutes, I missed my interview. So what happened was, those who don't want to listen to this, who might be too graphic, might want to close your ears, but when I walked out, I saw why the train had stopped. Someone had got lodged in between the train and the platform. And he was alive still. So that's what happened. So my question was, you know, if I obviously wasn't meant to go in this interview, that's what I was thinking. Even kal shebe kal, even small little things that happen are from Hashem. It's all Hashgacha Pratis. So was this a message for me not to go to the interview? And at the end of the day, I didn't get the job. But was that telling me I'm wasting my time? So it can make you go crazy sometimes if you think about everything. But everything does come from Shemayim, but we don't always know how to read the messages. Doesn't mean we should give up. But you should certainly try to figure out messages, speak to those who know and have clarity. But again, you have to be using it with seichel and without a biased approach. Yeah.
No, but that's the age-old question: where is the language between bitachot v'shtadlus? That's the same thing. You know, you see something happens. You're trying to do something and it's not working out, or you try a little bit and then it didn't work out, and then you say, okay, I'm done. I tried. And the rest is up to the root.
Correct. It all depends on the person and his level of bitachon. For each person, it's different.
Yeah, but my bitachon is so great that I can be like the Rebbe Zushin with a breakfast story. You know, that's another.
Yes, sir. There's no answer to this question. This is a struggle.
I'm not.
So, but you're right, Einach Hanami. So, this is what the pnimius is, everything happens from Hashem. Whether we're willing to accept that and read the messages properly, it depends who we are and where our level of bitachon is. But that's just the real essence is, it all comes from Shammai. Fine, the next point.
Yeah. Because you find that when Avraham Avinu wanted to do the Akedah, so that Sutton put the river in front of him. So if Avraham Avinu would just said, okay, Hashem doesn't want me to go because there's a river in front of me, then nothing would have happened.
But when Hashem talks to you and tells you, so then you know.
No, but Hashem says the same, but he has an impediment, and you didn't.
You have to figure it out. Sometimes you have to know when there are great things happening, many challenges come its way. Any great thing, kos chalos kashos. So it doesn't mean you give up right away. So if you know your mission is something that's, you know, Hashem speaks to you, that's one thing. But if you know your mission is really Ratzon Hashem, so then you should view those challenges as kos chalos kashos. So it depends. You're right, that's the other side. So it can make you crazy, but it doesn't mean you can give up. You have to still try to figure out what the messages are, and oftentimes speak to someone who knows, who could guide you properly. But that's the essence, that every single thing comes from Shemaim, even Kal Shebekal. Now this next idea, which is extremely, extremely important, about staying positive. Now it goes against a lot of statements in Chazal, and it could be, this is a different time we live in now, but the Oz Zayin, the Baal Shem Tov, tells us that lo zichron yom hamisa, remembering or thinking of one's death, the day he dies, how humbling that is, the lo yiras ha'onesh migehenim, and nor will the fear of punishment ma'orin lev ha'adam la'avodaso yisparach shema. This is a very, very important yisod. Even though the Gemara tells us when a person is about to sin, he should think of the day he dies, and that should be a scary image and help us step away from that. It doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work for most people. I don't know if it worked back then, but the Baal Shem Tov says it doesn't work anymore.
He's talking about
Vogue. What?
He's talking about Vogue, not about Losas. He's talking about assets, no?
No, I think in anything. I think in anything.
Avodah is usually? No, I don't know.
So he is talking about Orban Levov to inspire a person, but I imagine even on the negative in avoiding doing something wrong, the same approach should work. If you try to tell a person, don't do that, you're going to die. Or you tell a person, you know, if you want to come close to Hashem, so what should a person rather do? I would be inspired to avoid something, to be close to Hashem, than the not dying. But okay. Either way, he says, it's not negativity that's going to inspire people. Ki im hachuka listabek b'mekor chayim batov. It's the longing, it's the thirst to cling to Hashem, what really brings about a person's connection. V'lo ha'tainis v'asagufim mo'ilim, fasting, you know, going in an iced over lake for a mikvah, rolling around in the snow, these things are not going to make people better people, at least in our generation. Achashicha b'nafshu machmas hatshuka. What has to be is what a person's great longing for, you know what it's like to be close to Hashem? You know what it's like to taste that ziv hashchina, what Gan Eden's like. You know what it's like to feel like Hashem's in your life all the time. That's going to go a lot further in inspiring a person than it will to say, you know what Gehenna's like? You know how painful that is? You know how hot it is down there? You know, you tell a person, you know, the famous idea of what Gehenna is. They say, Gehenna's the same thing as the Gan Eden. It's the same exact thing. It's a base medrash. So people who hate learning, they're going to have a terrible time because they're not going to be learning the base medrash. And those who love learning will enjoy the base medrash. So you tell a guy, you know, if you want to enjoy Gan Eden, you should learn, because otherwise you're going to be sitting upstairs in Gan Eden and it's going to be Gehenna for you. That's not going to inspire anyone to become closer to Hashem. You have to speak in the positive to people. That's what the Baal Shem Tov is teaching us here.
What's that version? Ashkacha? Achashkacha?
Achashicha b'nafsho machmas hatshuka. Okay, so forgetting the nefesh bahamas, the animalistic aspect of a person, through the longing of being close to Hashem, the ruchnius should overwhelm and help you forget the nefesh bahamas, the animalistic aspect of people. Now that's also very true in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's the paradigm in Yom Kippur, although on one hand, it's a day that we're trying to get rid of all the negativity and all the averos, it's also the happiest day of the year. Because really, you should be thinking about what you could accomplish the upcoming year. Yes, we can't forget the averos, and we do the alchets all the time. But a person just focuses on the alchets all Yom Kippur, without the drive to accomplish the upcoming year, he's going to come out of Yom Kippur very depressed. I hope I got Slicha Mechila, he got a clean slate now. But what's his vision moving down the line? So if a person focuses it also and more on what he's accomplished the past year and what he can accomplish and that tshuka, that longing and thirst for the upcoming year, that's going to go a lot further in this person's inspiration in Yom Kippur or any other day that matter. Oschas. Says about Shem Tov, Kola Adam b'fnei atzma hu Torah shlema ruchnis. A person is a walking Sefer Torah. He's a spiritual Sefer Torah. As long as he follows in the Derech Hashem, he's going to cling to the Torah on to whatever level. Let's just run through the last two because it's already time. Ostes, Kishumis Pal, this is very, very important. When a person davens al davar nochutz lo, a person davens for something aside from himself, for a spouse, for a relative, for a friend, for Am Yisrael, Yechavin lispalal al chius he'elokus mistatir bo, you should daven on the essence of a person that's hidden, not on Reuven, but the neshama that's inside Reuven, u'mechayehu, that's keeping him alive, shubitzar me'adavar chaser lo. That neshama is in great pain, that's hidden within inside Reuven. Lachen yivakesh me'ashem l'rachem al chiyuso ha'mestatir bo. Ask Hashem for to daven for that Hashem, if you will, that godliness that's in every single person. Don't daven for Reuven, daven for that neshama that's in such pain inside. It's just a very different perspective. Because again, this is the common denominator. Always focus on the pnimius of every single person, being, object, action, speech in this world.
Why is it in pain? Why is it in pain?
Yeah. I guess when a person
When you're davening for a person, usually it's the gashmias of the person that you're davening for. A person is sick. That's not the davar ruchni.
Yeah, so this is it's a challenging topic, but basically when a person is doing averos or a person is getting punishments. Now, we're not judging people who suffer, but person, from a simple understanding, a person who gets punished in such a way, so it usually is a manifestation of a certain pagam in the neshama. A person does avera, so he gets punished for that.
The neshama always says it's pure, it's never tainted.
There's always tov in it. There's always some level of tov.
No, it's always pure. It's never sullied.
Right. The neshama itself is, but it's covered in levels of klipos. And those klipos, the more it covers it, the more hidden it is.
Are the klipos the gashmias, the physical?
Right, so I guess that impacts all those physical. No, yeah, I think right. So I think all the more klipas that are surrounding it and enveloping it, that causes pain to the neshama because it's more hidden now. The more hidden it is, it wants to be exposed. So the more layers of gashmis.
So why are we diving for that?
Because I guess the idea is that if we dive in for that neshama that's inside, maybe it will help break through those klipas. I don't know for sure myself. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I understand the concept of davening for. I'm just not understand why.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
It's the source.
The source.
If you, you know, we look at the gufa, the symptom, but the source is the neshama. So if you daven for the neshama,
if everything's manifesting from the neshama, you might as well from like the source.
Right. Right. No, that's the idea. But the question is, why is it, if the neshama is really kula tov, so it shouldn't be in so much pain if it's really kula tov. But I'm not entirely sure. Hopefully we'll get to this. I don't know. It's a good question. It certainly is. Each of these potential what?
There's potential. This is a long time. I heard Rebbe once describe that when the point of Chabad is not necessarily to do cure. Chabad is to recognize that in funny places, and there are a lot of funny places wherever they sell coke, that there's an neshama over there that's missing something. And when you're putting on tefillin on somebody who's never going to put on tefillin again, never has a shakas to any Judaism, what you're doing is you're having rachmanis on the soul that's locked up in that person. You should give a little bit of ruchnis, a little bit of of something. Right? So, so that, again, it's cool and tall, but it's encased in klippos that we need something. And any and in the end, I guess we'll take that a step further, that any gashmius thing that's missing from somebody, if you're capable, I'm not certainly capable of it, but if you're capable looking deep enough, that is going to have a source in some form of ruchnius that's missing. It's manifesting itself in gashmius. Exactly how that works.
All right, so hopefully we'll get there. And let's finish the final one here, and we'll conclude now with Os Yud. Hashkacha pratius hi al kol nivram. This applies to all creatures in this world. Gam al domim v'atzomchin, those which are silent, those are inanimate like rocks, and those that grow like plants. Kein l'chadavar shlo yu meshkichim alav milmala b'chal pratim. There's nothing in this world that doesn't have hashkacha from Shemayim. V'akol nase b'kavana miyuchad. This is all created with intent. And these are the 10 principles of the Baal Shem Tov. Again, this is pnimius of every single thing in this world. Mirz Hashem, next week we'll continue with Tolus Yaakov Yosef. We'll probably spend maybe 2 weeks on him, a little bit about him, and then some of his Torahs.
Sure. Okay,